Muhammad Ahmed, the victorious Mahdi, walked in the cool of the evening along the bank of the great river. He was attended by his Khalifa and his five most trusted emirs. As he walked, he recited the 99 beautiful names of Allah, and his entourage murmured the response after each was enunciated. Al-Ghafur, the concealer of faults, God is great. Al-Walli, the friend of the righteous, praise be to God. Al-Kawi, the strong, may his word triumph. They reached the tomb of the saint Al-Rab, and the Mahdi took his seat in the shade of the tree that spread its branches over it. When his warlords were assembled, he called upon each to report his order of battle and give an account of the troops that he commanded. One after another, they knelt before him and described their array. Then the Mahdi knew he had 70,000 men gathered before the walls of Khartoum. Another 25,000 had gone 200 miles north to Abu Hamed on the bend of the river to await the approach of the two British forces. These Ansar were of the finest, their religious ardour and their devotion to the jihad against the infidel at its fiercest. The Mahdi knew that no infidel army could prevail against them. The Mahdi smiled at Osman Atalan. "Tell me what we know of the enemy," he ordered. "O mighty and victorious Lord, beloved of God and the other prophet, know you that each day Abdullah Said, emir of the Baggara, sends a pigeon from his camp at Abu Klei on the bend of the Nile. Some of the birds do not reach my lofts, for there are birds of prey and other hazards along their flight path, but most come to my hand." The Mahdi nodded. "Speak to me, Osman Atalan. Tell us what news of the enemy movements these birds bring us." "Said reports that the infidel steamers, 7 in number, have passed through the last cataract below Korti, and now that the worst of their voyage is behind them, they come on apace. They are travelling almost 5 times faster than they did below the cataract. They carry many men and great guns. God shall deliver them to my hand, and they shall be destroyed," said the Mahdi. "God is great," Osman Atalan agreed. "The second infidel column has reached the wells at Gakdul. There they have stopped. We do not know why this is. I believe that there is not sufficient good fodder to feed the camels for the heavy work they must do. They wait at Gakdul for more supplies to be brought up from Wadi Halfa."
"How many infidel troops are at Gakdul?"
"Divine one, Said has counted more than 1,000 Franks and about the same number of camel drivers, guides, and servants."
"Are these Franks mad?" the Mahdi demanded. "How can they dream to prevail against my 100,000 Ansar?"
"It may be that they are waiting at Gakdul for reinforcements to join them," Osman suggested delicately.
"These infidels shall be destroyed also. No mortal man can prevail against the will of God. All these things God has told me.
Allah is all-seeing and all-knowing. Know you that on many nights Allah has come to me as an eagle of flame. He has told me many grave secrets that are too powerful for the common man to hear," he said, in the soft, mellifluous voice, and they bowed before him.
"Blessed is the Mahdi, for he alone hears and understands the word of Allah," chanted Khalifa Abdullahi.
"Allah has told me that before the infidel and the Frank and the Turk can be driven for ever from the Sudan, and the earthly kingdom of Allah and Islam, my enemy Gordon Pasha must be destroyed. Allah has told me that Gordon Pasha is the black angel, Satan, in the guise of man. May he be ever accursed and never look upon the face of God," they cried. "Allah, the All-Wise, has told me that the noble warrior of Islam, who cuts the head of Gordon Pasha from his trunk, like some bitter and evil fruit, and brings it to me, and lays it at my feet, shall ever be blessed, and that there shall be prepared for him a place in paradise at God's right hand. He will also be given power and riches in this world of the flesh."
"God is merciful! God is great!" they chanted. Allah has spoken to me, and he has told me the name of my servant who shall bring the head of the infidel to me, quoth the Mahdi solemnly, and they prostrated themselves before him. Let the man be me. If it be me, I shall want no other honour in this life or hereafter. The Mahdi held up his hands, and they fell silent. Osman Atalan of the Beja, draw closer to me, he said. On his hands and knees, Osman crawled to his feet. Allah has told me that you are that man. Tears of joy streamed down the emir's cheeks. He bowed his head over the Mahdi's feet and washed the dust from them with his tears. Then he unwrapped his turban, and with the locks of his long dark hair, he dried the feet of the chosen prophet of God.